Okay, hey, Steve.
That's better.
Yes, so they have a bad habit of cycling down the bandwidth if you talk for an hour. So apologies for that. I'll just restate very succinctly what I said. The inflation-deflation argument between Maloney, Dent, and an opinion also from Peter Schiff and other commentators that have some traction, which will come first? Will it be a reset fear, which is my personal bias, but I maybe my opinion's not worth much, and deflationary, and then the responses will cause the inflationary events. In terms of timing for people that are trying to protect themselves, this is relevant. And should we care? Doesn't matter. And what's your take on the order? And if assuming the trajectory of current government's behavior continues without taking on your and mine crusades?
Well, my website, the original website that I still partially maintain, I call debtdeflation.com. So I think it makes it fairly obvious which area I'm expecting. And the deflation, when I actually model this, is where my mathematical modeling comes in. When I put my model of debt dynamics together, it turned out that even if you had a model in which the private firms were the only borrowers, so workers did no borrowing, the tendency was that the profit share remained constant, the share going to bankers rose, and the share going to workers fell. So workers actually ended up paying for the increase in debt by a reduced amount of GDP. And again, when I look at the price dynamics, the fundamental cause of inflation is wage rises exceeding labor productivity. Now, this combination means that wage rises tend to be below labor productivity, so workers get a smaller and smaller share. Deflation becomes the rule. And then, of course, if you have this huge accumulation of debt, and if firms who borrowed the money can't service it, and you have speculative borrowers as well, which I haven't included in that basic model, then you're going to get even more deflationary trends coming out. So the basic trend is towards deflation. And that's, of course, been amplified by the arrival of China and third world producers in general on the production scene. Yes. So the tendency, and you think about it, we have technological change going on all the time as well.
Yes.
Unless there's pressure from workers to get wage rises in excess of that increase in productivity, then you're going to have deflation as a basic trend. And because we've also had neoliberal policies screwing the trade unions and attacking union power, the outcome is even more deflationary pressure. So all this stuff has pushed prices down, and I think deflation is...
And automation, which will affect the most blue-collar of workers hardest as well. So in essence, that would be, and I concur with that opinion, and in that situation, debt will kill you, cash is king.
Yeah.
Any other assets that are worth holding? Properties will go down in price, most things will go down in price, especially the financially engineered assets. Where do you hide apart from cash?
Well, I think the cash is about the only place you hide.
Yeah.
And that's one reason I'm worried about this tendency of economists to try to abolish cash so that they can use negative interest rates, which is one of the craziest ideas they've ever come up with. But they've now got the technology to start talking about abolishing cash. And they don't know what they're doing. I won't try. This is like handing over to somebody flying a plane who thinks there's rubber bands you've got to twist to get the propellers to turn. So I'm not about to let a cashless society come about while economists in command of the economy have such a naive idea of how it actually functions. So, but overall, cash is the security because you're outside the danger of the credit system, and then you can move even if the credit system itself freezes.
Surely this could be melt up for cryptos, though, if you start to get wholesale acceptance and there's no interest concept and there's fixed number.
The danger of cryptos is twofold. First of all, the speculative elements themselves.
Yep.
And secondly, what I've seen of Bitcoin, I don't know enough about the other blockchain technologies, but it takes about 10 minutes to verify a blockchain exchange on Bitcoin, and takes a fairly large amount of computing power to do it as well. That 10 minutes is just too long for capitalism. Now
the new altcoins, the new versions are dealing with that, the scalability, the fungibility, lot of the issues. So there is movement, there's quite quick movement in there.
Well,
even Bitcoin may have to adapt as well.
Yeah, well, they've got to move more quickly, and they've got to be more stable. Like one of the most important characteristics of a monetary system is, even though there might be general price inflation or deflation going on, the value of the currency doesn't change radically over time. Now, that's just not true of Bitcoin at the moment or any of the cryptocurrencies. So
too volatile. But I would argue there's a life stage cycle in all of this. First of all, it's a punter's spec stock, kind of like what penny stocks are for certain traders. And the early dogs are in there. Generally, it's only upside. These braggarts make money, the early adopters. It largely only is a long-only trade. In fact, those that sit more than they do trading make more money. It starts to become popular. It has a bit of a dot-com boom where everyone's buying boo.com and bridal.com type feel to it. People start waving in bigger amounts. What then happens is there's more issuance, there's more supply, slowly starts coming on. It starts to get in more balance, but it's still, instead of being hyperbolic, it maybe goes up quicker than it should, but more and more people are comfortable with it. It doesn't lose 50% in a day. It doesn't make 50% in a day. And then over time, as the normal curve hump goes into it, they become quite staid and quite bloated and fairly tightly balanced, and people are coming in and out, and the mania element is over, and then they start to replicate more of that of a currency, and it's just about who was early and who jumped on what was going up again, and that age-old adage that we were discussing early.
Yeah, but at the same time, a lot of people argue in favor of private competitive currencies, and a sort of Austrian argument about private banks competing with each other rather than being rescued by the government. And two problems I see with that. One is that one of the reasons money works is it's simple. Now, if you have to actually decide which sort of money you're going to go shopping with today, which one you trust and which one you don't trust, and which is in a bubble and which is not, it's just too damn complicated. There's enough complicated stuff even in your own family relationships not to need that on top of it, when you decide how to go shopping.
But think about it, Steve. We used to just go buy a pint of milk. Now you buy 2% full cream, whole cream, all of this. Exactly. The world is unfortunately getting filled with choice. You choose how you spend your money. You have credits on your phone. You have
It's just too complicated, and people just think, get me away from the complications. I want something simple that works, and that's one reason that ultimately a fiat money system tends to come back in, even if there's people who are rabidly anti-fiat money. Is simplicity of it was what actually comes back and rules in the long term. So I still think we need a monetary system which is simple, and the idea of competing currencies, digital or otherwise, to me is not simple. It's a sign of chaos, and it will pass.
But maybe a certain slice of chaos in your portfolio pie is worth having in the same way.
Yeah, but we're talking an investment decision, not something about the amount of how you store money.
But that investment decision, it is a bit of a hybrid of investment decision and exchange. In other words, you can cash it out quite regularly. So it's kind of like a cash instrument. Anyway, very interesting discussion. I like your views. I think you stay safely in the skeptic camp on the cryptos. I don't blame you. It's new. And it is a Wild West out there. And there have been some scary stories. But within that, I think it is also attracting quite interesting technology. And the banks are getting involved. One of them called Ripple has got the longevity of PayPal and Western Union. When you use Ripple, you can pay within seconds, and it costs a fraction of a cent anywhere from any account anywhere in the country to any other country, to Ghana, to anywhere. So
okay, I'll check that out.
Yeah, it's very, very powerful, and I think The Big Short has to be out in the payment companies like Western Union and even PayPal. So watch out for that. The technology is there. So once again, Patreon, Steve Keen, the man who wants to fix our economic system, who wants to take the truth of how things really work to the economists that are hanging on to the social privilege we've granted banks. I really like the cut of his narrative, and I think we could do so much more better with this kind of thought. Steve, thank you. And also the book Debunking Economics and How to Avoid the Next Another Financial Crisis. I'll get there in the end. Can we avoid another financial crisis? Steve Keen. Go check out those books, both on Amazon. Steve, a parting shot for you before we call it a close. Anything?
No, I would just, again, I'd like to get the book itself, Can We Avoid Another Financial Crisis? It's only 25,000 words long. It was a rather special discipline to write it for such a short book and for such a non-technical audience. So I think I hope it has a fair bit of influence. To me, I'd like a lot of people to read it and reflect upon it, and hopefully we can get that to give us the mental capacity to break away from the current financial system.
Excellent. So the book is made for the man in the street reading. Yep. Steve's a smart guy. He talks at 100 miles an hour. This is slowly put down for you. It's clear. It builds on it. You'll come away with a proper understanding. Get the book. Go to the Patreon's page and give him some support. Let's help him along and get his voice heard. Steve Keen, thank you very much. Appreciate it, and especially late at night, and look forward to following your progress.
Thank you, Francis. Okay. Bye.
All the best.
Okay, thanks a lot. I'll get off to get